hour's time. If his faith can work on that level, so can yours. Notice that his servant was healed in the same hour. Jesus didn't even have to come. Let's finish looking at what Jesus' response is. Jesus' response is in verse number 13. And Jesus said to the centurion, how did Jesus respond? Go your way as you have believed, so be it done unto you. Now I ask the question, how did Jesus know what this man believed? Because of his words. Your words are going to identify what you really believe. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. By your words, you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. Jesus said, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. As you have believed, so be it done unto you. As you have believed, so be it done unto you. I'm telling you today that as you believe, it will be done unto you. The question is, what do you believe? Jesus knew what the officer believed by what he said. Your words reveal what is in your heart, and they reveal what you really believe. It is important what you believe and what you say, because what you say reveals what your faith is. Amen. So you need to take note of what you've been saying. Now, I've been saying, I know what I believe. I believe that this is going to be my best year. That's what I believe. Amen. I'm believing that because I believe the word. I believe I haven't seen God's best, so I'm due for it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm believing that. That's what I'm believing. I'm believing that I will have opportunity to minister more this year than at any other time.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in my heart.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah. Somebody must know better this morning. Hallelujah. Huh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You'll stand to your feet, get your Bibles. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for knowing that it's all you. How you marvelously work in our lives in spite of us. We want to say thank you for just being God all by yourself. Bless now the word that you've given us. Meet us in the text, tailor the truth so that it reaches each and every hearer's heart. Minister to them as only you can by your spirit. And dear God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. God bless you. From the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, we want to visit this very familiar verse of Scripture. Today we are observing our missions day and our mission ministry. And so we want to look at this word and share some helpful holy hints. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I want to talk about a simple lesson on ministry, mission, and service. Now, this simple word is relevant whether you're in ministry work, whether you are a missionary, or you're involved in the service of the Lord. Here is a very helpful verse of Scripture that's designed to help us in all of those important areas of life. But there are three important lessons that, if learned, will help produce precious, profitable, and productive results and returns. Now look at this message. It's a simple message. And first thing that I want you to note about the text that it teaches us is that there are differences in tasks. We visited this word before, but I want to share some interesting tidbits, some nuggets, if you will, to help us who are in ministry, who are in missions, and or who give service to the Lord. Why is this so important that we understand the difference in task? One of the reasons it's important is because Paul wrote this verse to help us understand fundamentally that we do not all have the same task. We don't have the same role. We don't have the same responsibilities and assignments in service. And it's important to understand that Paul planted, Apollos watered, God has wisely given us different and varying gifts and talents and abilities and callings to people. He's done that in his wisdom, in his infinite wisdom, to help us understand that we are suited best for the calling on our lives. And sometimes, you know, in church, especially when there are things that we desire to be or things we desire to do, God is so uniquely gifted and blessed someone else to do it. It almost seems like child's play. It's so easy for them, and it's so very difficult for us to get a grasp on that. It doesn't come that easy. It doesn't flow that well. It doesn't seem like they have to work as hard as we have to work. Now, understand, one of the reasons might be is that that may not be your task. It may not be your assignment. It may not be your ability. Just to desire to do a thing for God doesn't mean you're qualified to do a thing for God. But listen, don't think that you aren't qualified to do what God has designed you to do. In other words, it may not be the position that you've got your eye on. It may not be that you desire to do best, but God has given each of us an assignment. He has given each of us an ability. He has given each of us a skill or talent or task, and He has assigned that based on the reality of that He has placed within us. So one of the things that will help you from becoming frustrated with ministry or missions or service is to understand that there are differences in our task. Different tasks, differences in task, and different people for task. And when you begin to understand that first fundamental rule, you'll understand that the reason why I may desire to do this and that is not what I'm capable of doing is because that's not what God has assigned for me. Now, I think you'll feel better, rest better, do better if you seek God for what He does have for you anytime you're wrestling that much with what you are presently doing. I share with folk, it's very easy sometimes to see some ministry gifts and to understand certain gifts and talents and abilities. Choir just got through singing beautifully. But if a brother get up there and they're sincere, sacredly, sing a song that just don't sound right. Even though in his heart he knows that the Lord receives a joyful noise, don't get it twisted. Don't get it confused. A joyful noise is a different from a singing gift. And so if you make a joyful noise in your shower, in your home, in your car, wherever you are, however, that's a wonderful thing. God receives that. But He doesn't give you that to get in front of folk and sing. Know your gift. Stay in your lane. Do what God has given you. Listen, if it's going to bring glory to God and edify man, you got to do what God has given you the ability to do. You make folk lose themselves in worship when you get up to that because that ain't no gift. They talk about you. They laugh at you. They start talking. They start doing all of this, and God gets no glory from all of that. Why? Because you're not in your place of ministry. Now, that's an easy one to spot, but then there are other places as well. Same reality. I dare say there are some people, if you watch them, are in the wrong place of ministry. Wrong place of ministry. In the pulpit, on the deacon ministry, in the deaconess ministry, on the usher ministry. I mean, in every ministry in the church, there may be people in the wrong position. Well, why do you say that, Pastor? Because it ought to be evident that what you're doing in ministry ought to be what you do. In other words, if you can't do what the ministry gift requires, then that may not be the ministry for you. How are you going to be a greeter and can't greet? That's something obviously conspicuously wrong with that issue. If I'm Dr. C.B. Jackson, now going on to be with the Lord, said the worst thing that they can say about a preacher is he can't preach. They may say he chased women. They may say he drank wine. They may say he loved money. And that's all bad things. But the worst thing they can say about him if that's what you're supposed to do, you ought to be able to do it. Worst thing they can say about a singer is he can't sing. Whatever the ministry is, if you can't do it, that's the worst thing that can be said about that you say God called you to do. So the first thing is understanding the differences in task and understanding that the task you may be trying to do has not been assigned to you. Look at what Paul says. I have planted. Apollos watered. Two different tasks. But each knowing their task. Not only knowing their task, but operating in their task. Notice he don't say, I, Paul, planted and watered and gave the increase, and Apollos just showed up. No, but he gave credence to the fact that he had a specific role that's important for us to understand. And the next point is just as equally important as the first point. First point is the difference in task. But the second point is the dependence of task. The dependence of task. We depend on other people in ministry to do their part. We depend on other people in ministry to pull their share of the load. We depend on other people in ministry to understand we are collectively cooperating with Christ who's called us into ministry. In other words, I didn't call myself, so that means I've not appointed myself. So obviously God has called me and appointed me where I best fit. But just like he called me and appointed me where I best fit, he called you and placed you where you best fit. And when you best fit and function and flow, then everything works well together. There are different items made, cars, watches, appliances, different things. Many moving parts, many different tasks. But all of them work collectively together for the function of the design of that thing. And you've got to understand that everything in its place is necessary, don't care how small or unseen it may be. See, a lot of people don't like their task because it ain't in the limelight. It's not in the spotlight. It's not where they can be seen. But I've got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, some of the greatest parts and works and tasks and ministries are beneath the surface, behind the scene. Yeah, you see the external extremities of a person, but let the heart go bad. You don't see the heart. Let the lungs go bad. You don't see the lungs. Let the kidneys go bad. You don't see the kidneys. Are y'all getting my point here? Just because you're not being seen don't mean that your function, your task, is not as important as those that are being seen. Your task is so important that if it doesn't operate, those who are being seen will look sick. I wish I had a helper in the house. It's important to understand that when everything is functioning and flowing properly underneath the skin, it makes what's on top of the skin look good. I say, oh, you sure look good. Well, I need to thank my heart, my kidney, my liver, my lung, my... No, you just kind of let it go at that. And everybody's fine with that because they've got a function to play. And that's to make you well and to make you function and to look good and to do all of that. But there's a point to it all. Understanding that one is dependent upon the other. Too many of us don't understand. God never called us in ministry work to be an island unto ourselves. I keep telling you, I need you. You need me. We need each other for this church to function and flow the way God intends for it to flow. To be productive, to be profitable, to be everything God wants it to be, we have got to work together, dependent upon one another. Whenever you get to thinking that you can do it by yourself, I don't need you, I don't need you, I don't need you, I don't need, I don't need, you forget that you are a part of a whole, and you're not whole apart from it. You catch that on your way home. Oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, when we look at this word and we see the dependence of task, how God in his wisdom, made sure that we were all interconnected so that we could never really get beside ourselves and cast off others who are necessary to make the completion of the task assignment given. You know, sometime in team sports, we may have one or two people who shine brightly. Right now we're in football season, and of course the New Orleans Saints are winning, and we go Saints go, yeah. Who that? Yeah, all that, that's good. But as good as Drew Brees is, and you know, almost in the sight of the New Orleanians, Drew Brees could do no wrong. Even his mess ups ain't wrong. You know, they just, something else happened. You know, it ain't Drew. No. But if Drew didn't have someone else to connect with, he wouldn't have broken the record the other day that he broke if he didn't have a receiver, a catcher, somebody to catch, whether it's a short pass or a long one. His gifts and abilities could never really be shown if he never had a receiver when he threw the ball. He shines because the other part, the other person, is doing just as well catching the ball. And so the Saints win when they work. That's right. Together. And I get up, I don't care how good I preach. Sometimes I gotta say, preach, preach myself. Preach, Pastor. Because some of you all won't get all sidewinded and don't want to say amen. I have to tell lights, say amen, lights. I have to encourage myself and say, go on, preach, preacher. I know I'm preaching right. But when we do it together, when we do ministry work together, everything works better, and God gets the glory, and we get the good, and that's how God designed it. For us to be dependent on one another. Yeah, there may be a few plays where I'm in the spotlight, but I promise you, I wouldn't want to do it. I couldn't do it. I don't desire to do it by myself. I thank God for the people around me that I can connect with and that do what is so necessary and important to make this ministry what God would have it to be. And know this, my brothers and sisters, there is a need for your service and for you to function in your service, whatever that service may be, great or small. In the Lord's work, you are important. Don't take light your work. Sometime when it's your time to do what you're supposed to do and you're not there to do it, it hinders the progress of the whole. The whole. Now, these men in the choir, our music ministry, all of them, have people in the choir that can sing. But if the musicians didn't show up, they could sing a cappella. But y'all would much prefer to have the music with them. Not that they don't sound good, but that's what you're accustomed to. That brings out the fullness. That's making full proof of the music ministry. And so it just flows a lot easier because that's what you're used to. Of course, if we never had musicians and instruments and we just sung a cappella and choir and congregation together in one harmonious voice, that would be wonderful. But that's not what you're accustomed to. So the service wouldn't even flow like talking about if something happened to our musicians. Everything plays a part, an important part, because the music helps usher us into a different realm and the spiritual presence of the Lord. The music has such an important place, path, before the word to prepare the hearts of the people of God. That's why when the music isn't right, It takes more for me to have to make an adjustment as opposed to the music ushering us into the presence of the Lord. Sometimes it's so off-centered that I got to get up in here and sing, pull it back on track, get it together before I can even bring forth the word. Now, don't get me wrong. That ain't always the reason I sing before I preach. Sometimes I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on a sparrow. Oh, I know he's watching me. But it all has to do with us working together. If the ushers didn't keep the doors, keep order in the worship experience, the enemy could bring forth so many more distractions. Usher needs to know their job. The people need to know the job of the ushers. If the usher say it's not time to enter the sanctuary, don't try to pull the door and get in. We got security. Security, boom. Take them on out of here. They don't belong to them here. They don't know how to act in the house of the Lord. Don't want to know how to act right. I remember in the church I pastored as a young man, and I remember the church I was in as a young boy. We had both men and women ushers, but especially the men ushers would go around through service. And if they saw somebody chewing gum, I wish some helpers would. They would pass a program. If they were on that side and they're in the middle of the aisle, they'd pass them, put their gum in their program. Tell them, put their gum in the program. Everybody, tell them, put their gum in the program. Yeah, now people come here and have a picnic in church. They eating the crackers and drink juice and act like they on break somewhere. Get up just nasty and trifling like they are at their homes, leave the paper all on the floor, stick the gum underneath the bench. Y'all, you can sit there and act like I'm making this up if you wanna. Ushers need to know, if you can't usher and you can't bring order to the place, maybe ushering ain't your ministry. Because you've got the full power of this pulpit and God backing up this pulpit, the deacons, the deaconess, the officers of this ministry backing up your work when you do what you're supposed to do. If anybody wants to be that unruly, they don't belong in here. Yeah, you do know the devil comes to church, don't you? Yeah, when the sons of God were meeting angels. In the book of Job, it tells you, Satan showed up right there and there. God called him out. Satan, where have you come from? Well, I left the other church. I thought I'd stop here today and see what was going on. And he asked him where had he been, and he told him he was up and to and fro down and checking out whom he may devour. God said, have you considered my servant Job? So yeah, I did, but I'm trying to make a point here that the enemy comes to church. And those who are able to discern, know what is the Spirit of God and know what's not the Spirit of God. And when you function in your ministry and know your calling and have these gifts, then you are not led astray. And so it might seem like pastors being mighty cold, mighty hard on telling this person or that person or saying this or saying that. But listen at this. It is all according to the divine order of God that things be done decently and in order. And no disrespect to a crying baby. I thank God many churches wish they had babies in their congregation. But when the baby becomes so disruptive and unruly, baby, if the baby's hungry, the baby's hungry. Take the baby out and go feed the baby. The baby done just had to go to the restroom, sit there in your lap. If you smell it, don't you think everybody around you smell it? Get up and go see about the baby. If the baby could take care of itself, it wouldn't need you to take care of. So you get up and do the right thing. But if there is an issue